The members of the committee, have you gotten an opportunity to look at the minutes from last month's meeting? If there's no additions or deletions or any problem, moved by Legislator Maloney, seconded by Legislator Lord. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we have some people here, so tonight we're going to take some of these resolutions out of order so we don't hold people up here that have places to go. So we're going to start out with the first two resolutions, 160 and 161. Resolution number 160, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, DEC, to accept grant funds under the 2016 Municipal Zero Emission Vehicle ZEB and ZEB Infrastructure Rebate Program, Department of Public Works. I believe this is money that we're going to vote to accept from the state. And from the county executive office, we have Ken Grinnell to talk on this a little bit.
I'll make a motion for discussion.
A motion made by Legislator Litz for discussion, seconded by Legislator Lauren. Go ahead.
I'm sure we share the problem. It's very straightforward. The county has been working very hard to implement the kind of legislation change policy you have 3 years ago. And, we currently have 14 vehicles that are responding to green fleet vehicles. And by the end of 2017, we expect to have 26 vehicles that fall under the definition. All of them are plug-in hybrid vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
We accelerated our pace given the fact that the state's currently offering a $5,000 rebate for all the purchases of all the cars we purchased. So this $5,000 brings the cost of our standard sedan down to a regular gasoline sedan cost, mm-hmm. essentially. So this is for 3 vehicles we purchased last year, 3 Chevy Volts, which are 1 of our vehicles. We currently are in the process of purchasing another calls. You want to write down a month ago. You'll see from time to time this resolution comes through the success of the rebate dollars from off.
So we'll be up back for it.
By the end of 2017. In the 2017, yes. We put this to the goal. I would say it's a goal of 20% by 2020. But we just get that goal every year. It makes a lot of sense. From older fleet, and we're able to find new vehicles to take advantage of the state money.
So we can expect more of these down the pipe.
We'll see more. And this is the first batch of 3 that we bought up in the state bid last year.
Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll entertain them.
Oh, Pete, no, I'm good.
Yeah. Mayor Joe, do you have anything?
No.
Motion made by Legislator Lauren. Seconded by Legislator Litz. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
Yes, it is.
Resolution number 161, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, DEC, to accept grant funds under the 2016 Municipal Zero Emission Vehicle ZEB and ZEB Infrastructure Rebate Program, amending the 2017 Ulster County Budget Department of Public Works. This basically says the same thing, Mr. Chairman.
It is a little different to you, but this is actually, they're ordering all these new plug-in electric vehicles, so we also need infrastructure to charge. So this is accepting state dollars to install additional 6 charging stations. We've come up with a plan to station them at various county buildings. There'll be 2 at the Business Resource Center, 2 at the Golden Hill Office Building up on the hill, 1 at SUNY Ulster at the main campus in Stonegate, and we already have the facility at the Kingston Center, so we're adding one to the Southern campus, and then an additional one here at the county office. So, one of the public stations, we want to pull this with the station here. And we get some complaints that, they park there all the time. I know you all appreciate how little parking there is on Kingston, and you know, we've been reluctant to kind of pull that car out of that spot, and we're waiting for the electric vehicles, and we were going to move that out, and those spots were moved to electric vehicles, and sure that's an important public space that you need to go to DMV. So what our plan is we're going to install a station back toward Pearl Street more, by the way, the environment, and then there'll be two plug-in vehicles here stations, you know, once this is all put together. So that, for this car that we park here, we're going to park over by the, over the head on the, on the,
I made the motion for discussion.
I'm sorry.
Motion made by legislator Litt, seconded by legislator Mahoney. But let me understand now. So what you're saying is, so they're going to be allowed to stay in these parking spots?
The county vehicle, we've been parking and leaving in the spot. And the
county
vehicle,
okay.
Correct. If someone comes and another one comes, you know, yeah, the life that calls, the reality is that the space is such a premium in the back.
Right.
You know, we have a couple of county vehicles here in the public lot, several other, one of the grounds keeps up other vehicles in kind of a employee spot. So,
right,
by putting this other station, it kind of solves the problem.
Right.
It eliminates that, you know,
that. It would be courtesy that once the car is fully charged, you think it would be moved.
Exactly right.
That's the way it should be, you know.
But the reality is, you pull that out and put it in a regular spot.
Okay. Oh.
You know what I'm saying? That takes away a regular spot from the public who's trying to come to DMV.
The only people that will have access to these additional charging stations are going to be employees with electric cars?
They're part of the discussion. I know there's been a lot of discussion. The policy that currently exists in this issue does allow gasoline cars to park in the spot. We would recommend that you change that and just allow the plug-in vehicles to park in those designated spots.
I'm not talking about using the charging stations. The charging stations are going, these new charging stations are going to be used solely for Ulster County.
They'll be available for public use as well.
And how are you going to regulate it at that point?
They're all connected to the same network, and we keep track of it.
But how are you going to know the difference between one vehicle versus another vehicle?
We have to hope that it's a closed unit system. So right now there's several county vehicles that use it. We know the difference between general public and the county vehicle.
Okay, but my point is, if a person has an electric car, they may not have a card to use. Are they still going to be able to use that?
They have to either get a card or use a smartphone app to log into the system and actually track them.
But we don't track that.
Yes, you do. We know.
And okay, so then what is going to be the cutoff when? Because I know the big discussion was the use of the pre-use of this charging station. Okay, now we're going to add 6 more charging stations, and we're going to let the public use that. And it's not free, but it is free. At some point, the Chamber of Commerce is not going to be picking it up.
Yes, we're supporting the time that there'll be such an increased use of this incredible system. Quite frankly, these mass programs fund the software that operates it for a period of time, it's paid for. But there'll become a point in time that we'll have to make some adjustments and charge for public.
I want to make sure that
we haven't reached that point yet, but that will come in the future. We're monitoring it very closely. I know that in 2015, the public usage cost about $750.
And we get 1,000.
Well, this year we have 1,250. And quite frankly, we've had other people express interest of potentially sponsoring as well. It's kind of advertising and people like it. So when we're done with the chamber, we may even put it out. We might be enough funds keep the free public use going longer. But then we'll be done at a point in time.
That'll be appropriate for us. Right. That's what I'm saying. Thank you, Chairman. Just quick, Legislator Warren has brought up a good point, and that's the legislator's job is to come up with a policy to use the station, and how to use the station, whether county costs to meet it or not, but that's up to this body eventually.
Eventually, yeah. No, I get that. I'm just on short term. I'm
right.
But yeah, concerned.
Can I ask Ken a quick question? The county, the two new stations here are going to go in the back parking lot?
The one new station will be in the back parking lot close to the Pearl Street side.
So is the public allowed back there during the
day? Yeah, they're allowed there in the evenings and weekends. Right there, yes.
Okay, because my understanding, and I'm pretty sure I saw the application the county filled out to the state, said the primary use of these charging stations is for public use, which is different than the original one we had because the primary was for the county vehicles, but, you know, when they weren't using them, the public use them. So would that come in violation of
Rich, it's a little more nuanced than that. The station, the nine that we currently have right now, are primarily for that grant program for employees of the county to use and for
the county
vehicles.
Right.
And then public is another use that's allowed. Yeah, you know. The new program is a little different, where the public is part of it, but it's and, you know, I don't know if we have to go to the extreme that we take the station that's currently there and swap it out.
Right. No, I'm just talking, I saw the application the county filled out. It said it's the primary use for public use, and it was checked yes.
Yeah,
right. So we're trying to respond to block to the public for 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, are we going to, could we end up being in jeopardy of what we filled out? That's all I'm saying.
No, sir, there's no issue. It's, again, it's all.
Right now it's from the 24, it's not.
Right. Yeah, there's really, I appreciate your concern, but okay. there's no issue with that at all. Yeah. And again, we keep a pretty good track of the usage. All the stations are being used pretty specifically, except for the one at the law enforcement center. That is the staff, I'll share the thing I brought for the community. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay. It doesn't bear it out. I mean, the biggest complaint that we get is that we park a fleet vehicle here at the county office building.
Mm-hmm.
But we do that, again, the spaces behind our office are so limited. You know what I mean? There's
yeah.
a demand for them that we didn't want to leave the two plug-in spaces empty while people are driving around looking for a place to park.
Right.
And they know they're not supposed to park.
I understand.
So right. I think to solve that issue, we're going to have keep the three vehicles on the other side is kind of a one other vehicle for the there are things that will be here actually is interesting, it's going to be an all electric vehicle.
Wow.
So we won't be any internal combustion engine, we'll be an all electric drive.
Wow.
And that'll be primarily used by the public environment.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Legislator Green, you had something?
Yeah, the first thing I wanted to do was just commend Energy and Environment because they've been going through a really deliberative process and bringing people in, and I just wanted to acknowledge that. And the other commendation is to Amanda LaValle. Just I see how much work she put into this, and it's timely, it's beneficial, and I just want to give her credit for being ahead of the curve, because she's always, looking out.
We're talking about how many should we get, and we're talking about what's the one, and we're going to get the infrastructure for no cost, and then we do have our global match we have. We use in-time contributions, so our DPW does a great job, and they'll trench the wire, and they'll trench the wire, and some of our contributions work. Other than that, they're only paid for,
Okay, if anybody else is going to entertain a motion to move this?
I'll move it.
Moved by Legislator Lawrence, seconded by Legislator Litz. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All opposed. Sure, but it's just, yeah, thanks for taking time. I appreciate it. Take care. Alright, now we will be going to resolution 154. Resolution number 164, authorizing the chairman of the Elsa County Legislature to enter into a non-exclusive easement and right-of-way relocation agreement with Kingston, New York Retail LLC relocating assets to property owned by Elsa County along Washington Avenue in the town of Ulster for the purpose of allowing the private known as Kingston Commons to be constructed, Department of Planning. Chris? Dennis is here.
I'll second it.
Move for discussion. Yeah. Legislator Maloney, move for discussion, second. And why, legislator Lip.
Just quickly, what this does is the county has land that are behind where the sluice is. The sluice actually sits on our right-of-way. Mm-hmm. The county has about 8 acres of property there. It was formerly designated as Harry Taylor Park. What this will do is essentially amend the right-of-way access to that park. We've negotiated with the developer in terms of how that amendment will take place. We were going to receive an additional access to the signalized intersection. It will now be signalized on the west side or the south side of Washington Avenue. There will be a four-way signal there. We'll have access to that signal. We're going to have additional work being done to improve the access to the county facilities down there. We're also going to get stub electric water data to our land. And a place and a paved road that basically runs down to an area that we can have a parking area back there. In addition, we work with the developer to make sure that we have sidewalks along the whole front of the project, lighting, landscaping, etc. And we're also going to have some of the material that was spilled on our property that's in the floodway illegally. The developer is going to remove that material as well. There will be filling on the county property. As part of that fill placement, the developer will do the necessary testing to make sure that fill is clean. And then that area of fill will be landscaped so that we don't have a retaining wall that faces the county park. This discussion has been ongoing for about a year and a half. We've also worked with the town of Ulster and DOT to essentially flip the design of the project so that the big sycamore tree that's out there that everybody had some concern about gets saved.
Any questions? Anybody have any discussion? All right, I'll entertain a motion to move it.
Second.
Legislator Warren, move it.
Yeah, I did already.
Oh, I thought you moved for discussion.
Yeah. Oh, either or.
No. Oh, so I thought they were separate things. And seconded by Legislator Maloney. All in favor?
Mm-hmm. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Yes.
I was hoping that we could do resolution 168 and 149 in that order.
Okay, well,
I apologize.
Well, I have already promised somebody right after this, but when we're done with that, we can move to you. Alrighty. Resolution number 139, setting a public hearing on naming a county-owned asset to be held on Tuesday, March, May 9th, 2017 at 6:30 p.m. Richard Parody, you're up.
Thank you, Chairman.
Welcome to the discussion.
Got it.
Maloney, second.
Thank you, Chairman. What we'd like to do here is, similar to what we did last month with Chief Cruz, we had passed a resolution last year if the community would like a county asset named after them. a town board, a community group, a planning organization would come to the legislature and request that the asset be named. And in this case, it's the Line Crew Bridge in Hurley, town of Hurley, and the town board, and John Davis is here. John's a town board member, so I can answer any questions. But the town board passed unanimously to name it after Jack Bill. Mr. Bill was a farmer, community leader, other farmers had a farm. There's probably nobody in town that thinks anybody's gone over that bridge more in their life, in his testimony, but has gone over that bridge and is more deserving of it to be named after Mr. Jack Bill. So this has the committee set a public hearing and goes through the same process as the chief goes to.
I also request a co-sponsor.
Okay, thank you.
And I think Legislator Malone, you reflect the co-sponsor?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody?
Can Mr. Gill
add
something
for me? Yes, absolutely, please.
Yeah. Hey, for, just take a minute here. Okay. Anyway. I'm not being facetious. I was going to say, I'm in the library. I'm here. Anyway, I'm John Davis, and I'm really a councilperson. And it's just a few things I want to mention about Mr. Gill. I never knew Mr. Gill until I moved back here from California 16 years ago. And my first reaction when I met Mr. Gill was he was just a super guy. He was if you guys didn't know him, most of you did. He was just like a big bear of a guy. A gentleman, and we got to talking, and we bonded instantaneously because we were both former Marines. And you know, people who don't know, Mr. Gill was wounded on Iwo Jima in 1945, and he thought he had $1 million wound, sent back to his ship offshore. 3 days later, they stuck him back in the middle of things. And he survived. And he was like the ultimate of the greatest generation. Came back from the war, continued to work the farm with his father, who was in 1937. And he was one of the original members of the Hurley Volunteer Fire Department. He was on the town board in Hurley for in excess of 20 years. And we, just as I hit it off big, and I also found out from the talk to Mr. Gill that the Marine Corps is a small unit compared to the Army and the Navy, and we were both in the same battalion, two wars apart, which was the 1st Battalion, 26th Marine Regiment, 5th Marine Division, 5th Marine Division. The only landing they ever made in World War II was Iwo Jima, and they got decimated, so they never hit the beach on Okinawa. And I was in the 5th Marine Division when I got activated for Vietnam in 66, and it got disbanded in 1969. So anyway, thanks for your helping us out here, and hope you're going to go through. I like to say that there was a man deserved to have a bridge named after or anything. Old Jack Hill.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Jack, 54 years.
Wow. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Which, Dennis, you're welcome.
John Jody.
Dennis, what did you want? Which one, bud?
168 and 149.
149.
158. We can do it in order of 168 first.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Resolution number 168, amending capital project number 483, Fire Training Center, Department of Public Works, to increase funding for design and engineering work and included funding for legal work, Department of Public Works. Motion for discussion?
So moved.
Moved by Legislator Litt, seconded by Legislator Warren. Go ahead.
The increase is directly related to an RFP that was issued for the design of the fire training center, which came in higher than was estimated. And the increase in the other area is to make sure that we have some funding to cover any of the legal niceties that need to be done in terms of establishing the fire training center, all the secret work. And we need to do a title search on the property as well.
The increase is $48,000.
Yep.
This passed last night in law enforcement and public safety. Legislator Green.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of calls about this. My original When this first came to us, my main concern was, you know, that PFOA, PFOS not be used, or, you know, any toxic material that's generated be captured and not leave the site or get into the groundwater. But I have since been contacted by quite a few of the people in the community, and I did read in the paper that Deputy Sudlow is asking the right questions about impacts on neighbors, impacts on wildlife, and impacts on water resources. And this is a very sensitive project, needless to say. We need a fire training center in Ulster County. But it's logical that people that are concerned are going to call me. And I did take a look at the site. And from my semi-trained eye, I would say that, you know, there is a lot of wetland, a lot of habitat. There are, I think that some of the neighbors' concerns are legitimate. And I was going to actually call your office to find out if the RFP was a feasibility study or an actual design. And it looks like it's the actual design.
It includes the necessary environmental work, which includes alternatives, locations as well.
All right.
The guidance of establishing the capital project declared itself to the agency. We will go through a full environmental review as needed. As part of that, I would add to the concern that Mr. Sudlow expressed our smoke, noise, and stormwater.
Yeah.
And we know that we're going to have to do some wetland delineation. We don't believe we have any endangered species or habitat issues, but we'll find that out when we get out in the field. And we'll deal with them as we can from the design perspective. The idea essentially is to move those most egregious areas back to the site's 51 acres. We have quite a bit of property out here. So the idea would be essentially to move back away from the neighbors with respect to those. Some of the issues neighbors are concerned about.
Will the environmental review also include a look at alternative sites?
There was a committee formed by the county executive with respect to this. They have looked at some of the alternatives. We'll go back over the alternatives that they've looked at to make sure that we have the necessary alternative analysis. As you know, one of the things that we, with respect to secret, we don't have to find the best site. We have to find the site where there is essentially no significant environmental impact.
Let us say, Mark.
Just quickly, is this being built out on 32?
I'm sorry?
32?
No, Cottage Hill Road. One property away.
No. Don't they, didn't they used to have this, though, of a training center over on Route 32?
There's a long... 32 is a long distance in Ulster County. It goes from...
It's closer. I'm talking about out near Route 209 and 32.
That's the town's.
There's one off of Ulster.
Right next to the RRA.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that is behind you. That's a small one.
Yeah. We'll get to it from Ulster Landing, though.
It's a portion of the former Charlie Ryder Park. It's on the side of Ulster Landing Road.
Okay, that's fine. I just wasn't sure. I was thinking that there you have one, and I thought that was owned by the county. Is that defunct now, Jimmy?
No. Still, they have, it's just not built to the extent that the county is going to build the facility. I mean, the man out of Herb and I back in October, they're going to have a burn chamber and, you know, We've got a program space that's in the, that was in the RFP, which essentially is looking at a burn facility, a car facility, an escape facility.
So every local government's going to have access to it?
The fire service.
I'm assuming that includes the city fire department.
It would be.
Okay.
Well, if I may?
Sure.
Yeah, I still have concerns about this location, and especially as you say, you know, some of the activities that are going to be going on there really will impact the neighbors. And so I'm going to be voting no. I don't know. This is still just committee. I do plan to go to, although they don't have jurisdiction per se, they can offer comment. And I plan to go to the Marbletown Environmental Commission meeting, and I know some of the neighbors. I just got another call today. So, I mean, this happened around whether or not there were going to be dorms along that area, and you know, if it were a location where I didn't think neighbors were going to be so directly impacted, then where my untrained eye can already see how much wildlife habitat this project is going to disrupt, I would really like to see a very serious consideration of alternative sites, including the site that up on near off Route 32 near 199, because I think that site might be a better site and have less impact. So, you know, I got to do what I got to do, and I would like to have a chance to, we were talking about collaboration before the meeting started, have a chance to have the neighbors come in and talk with you and have a dialogue, because I think that might be helpful, and they may even be able to make some useful suggestions. But right now, you know, just from my responding to concerns, I'm going to have to do the no one.
Yeah, so we're going to have to pick it up here because Dennis has a 7 o'clock meeting.
Just a quick question. I'm just curious. Was there any discussion with the town boss of possibly giving you the land over there?
I was not utilizing it, so I can't answer that question.
It does kind of make sense. It's already got a parking facility. You got plenty of land.
The fire service has rejected those locations.
On what grounds?
I can't tell you that because I wasn't part of that discussion. But I know that they've looked at their fire training. There's one in Walker Valley as well. Part of it has to do with location in terms of how to get to the site and where it is located in terms of distance from other sites. And part of it may have to do with the size of the Ulster site. I know the size of the Ulster site is not that big. It's very constrained because of the
distance there.
There's wetlands on both sides of that surround. That's just up right in there. I know that is what the actual usable land is not that big an area.
Yeah.
Okay, if there's not any other discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Okay, motion is carried. 4-1.
Resolution 149, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County CT Mail Associates Department of Public Works. Dennis?
So moved. Moved by the legislator Maloney, second by legislator Lawrence for discussion.
Mm-hmm. CT Mail was the responder. We had five responders. We interviewed two. We did interview three, right?
We
unanimous choice choice by the committee. And I think unanimous choice by the committee is all internal work by CT Mail. The contract price is a little over about $188,000, $190,000 for the design work. And this is basically what authorizes that to do the necessary design. And they have responsibilities to do the necessary work.
If there's no more questions, all in favor?
Hold on one second. I got distracted. We're on 149. And that is?
Design services for the fire.
Okay, so I have to be a no again.
Okay. All right, so the motion is carried 4-1. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Thank you, Dennis, for coming. Chris, for coming. Thank you.
Have a good one.
You know, it's a late
resolution.
Remember, I had spoken.
We can do it at the end if you want. I know it's under business. Is your
resolution prepared?
The resolution
is prepared, but we don't have
to December until
Friday, so I was going to give you an update on the project. Remember, you and I spoke by phone 2 weeks ago about it? Oh, yes, I apologize. I do remember the phone call conversation. Yes, I do. He did call. Resolution number 145, supporting a request for a traffic study and permanent speed limit reduction and requesting a reduced detour speed limit with increased state police presence on Forest Hill Road in Platte Hill. Joe, this is for a bridge that's being done over, I believe.
And it is a three-way bridge on 32.
Is it okay? And the detour goes out of Platte Hill into Alta County, into Orange County, and back into
it's Rock Cup Road.
Right. And legislator Lauren is putting this resolution forward during the time of the
Kevin Roberts.
During the time of the construction of the detour, if we can reduce the speed from 55 to 45. There.
I believe the speed is 55 in Orange County.
Yeah.
Okay, but he wants to reduce to 45?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He must have thought it was 55. But ours is 45 in Ulster County side?
No, it's 55.
It says Forest Road from 55.
Maybe I'm mistaken, but I have video of the whole road because I usually only have the detour. I just took the video the other day, so he can choose my scene. If I don't see anything else, you know, then I would say it's 55 because it's not close.
Okay. I'll make a motion for discussion.
Motion for discussion by Legislator Litz. Seconded by Legislator Maloney.
Okay, so I don't understand this, because you're talking two different things. Kevin wants to reduce it from 55 to 45.
During the time.
And make it consistent with Orange County.
Possibly, we need to verify what
just as I pull up the video, the phone off of Orange County into Ulster County, there's a 45-mile-an-hour speed limit on air traffic.
On Ulster County?
Yeah,
Ulster County is already 45.
Ulster already 45.
Orange County.
I believe. So then we don't have to do anything.
I believe it. But we don't have to do anything with this. He would have to contact Orange County and try to have theirs reduced.
Yeah, I mean, if we said, okay, with it, it was 55, if we change. If ours is 55, we change it to 45.
Right.
That seems weren't.
No, right.
No.
So I don't, you know.
Okay. No, without a vote of the other,
I just would. But like I said, it's very.
It's a county road, too, correct? It might be a county road.
Yeah.
It's not a state road or anything like that.
No, it's a county road.
It's a county road that was paved, I think, 4 years ago.
Okay.
And it was crack sealed, I believe, last year. So the road is in really good shape, and that's, you know, that's another reason why,
See, one of the whereas is he's asking us to request Orange County Superintendent of Highways, Commissioner Public Works, to make this change. Now,
that's not for us to do. Anybody can make the request.
Right. Does that have to come from the...
Well, you talked with the DOT, right?
Me?
Yeah.
I was only one meeting in this room with the DOT about this. particular thing.
Right.
Well, no.
To make a request, if we don't have jurisdiction.
Right. We're saying that
this is a public safety issue.
I'm looking at the video right now, and I'm seeing 45 mile an hour speed limits all the way down the road. I'm on my third song right now.
You're not going to be somebody.
Kevin went away. He told me about this.
Yeah, he's asking for Orange County.
Yeah. When does Susan come back?
Monday.
Maybe for now we just like
a lot of disciplines in this stuff.
Yeah.
Is there?
No, yeah. Niles instead of miles. Pound OM for from.
But do we want? We can not ask if we can still, right?
Well, New York is, but.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. We're not going to take any action on this.
No.
Alrighty. Did you say Susan comes back?
It should be able to reduce the speed limit during the detour without an issue. Three-quarters of the way through Forest Road, about three-quarters, it turns into Orange County. So our section of Forest Road is 45, and apparently, according to that, their section is
55, right.
And then that runs all the way to 300 in Orange County.
So when they get to the bridge, though, that's reduced to what?
The bridge is zero, because they're taking the bridge out.
They're replacing the bridge.
This is a detour to go around.
Huh?
What are we talking about? If you're going to take the bridge out, what are we talking about? Why are we reducing anything?
On the detour.
On the detour.
Where the road
is. See, when it's erected, the traffic
narrowly appears to be heavily increased.
So okay.
That's why you want to...
I can't see why they can't reduce the speed during the detour without...
Well, when they get to us, they got to reduce it anyway.
It's already reduced.
The drivers are already told. Don't do over a certain speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you gonna regulate that?
Orange County?
Orange County can do what they want, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so we're gonna take a look. Resolution number 150, approving the execution of the contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county Peckham Road Corporation, Department of Public Works. Motion made by Peter Lawrence for discussion, seconded by Herb Blitz.
Motion.
Joe, that's resolution 150.
Yep.
I'm assuming this is just a low bidder off of the OCS.
I believe this is the rollover extension for one zone of the paving contract.
Do we know what roads they're doing?
Right now, it's very preliminary. Of course, the continuation of ongoing projects such as, you are at the top of my head, Binning Water Road,
right.
That's in midstream of, finishing. Another section of creek blocks that if you finish that project,
mm-hmm.
Because of course we have to do sections and line up, Old Post Road is another one, got another section and that'll be finished, so we're like button up those are definitely
in the plan. Can I make a request on all of these projects? These, when you know or finalize the list, can you send it to the committee? Because we get calls all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody sees this in here, right, excess of $50,000 in place paving,
mm-hmm.
are they going to do such and such a road? And I tell them, I don't know. And they said, you're voting on it. You don't know?
Right.
And I'm going to tell them that it's an extension of an existing contract. They're making up the list. When they know, they're going to let us know, and then I can get back to you.
Right.
Because I like to be able to say, I'm going to get back to you, instead of,
right.
it's going to be whatever road they pick, don't worry about it. They usually don't like that answer.
I mean, I have a pretty good idea, and I'm pretty good at
reading. We can wait for the list.
Yeah, and the thing is, right. it's with the, with the chips being going on and the oil prices right now,
I understand.
It's like yeah.
mm-hmm.
every day, that,
yep.
It's kind of like,
Shuffle. Yeah, I don't want you to guess, but when you have a pretty good 99.9%, and even for the crack sealing and the cold and recycling, hot mix, ready recycling, if you know those projects, you can even just put it on one little sheet, and then we can get it in our mailbox.
Only slight difference is we're going to send it through and pop something all over again, because it's a...
Yeah.
Yes, I understand. Yeah,
that's fine.
She's good about that. Yeah, she's good about that. Jim?
Just a question on, in the resolution. Varies based on road eligibility for particular funds. What would make the change?
Particular funding is only eligible every 10 years.
Okay.
So if we paved the road 3 years ago,
we can't
use chip seal again.
Oh, really?
What is it, the Marshallella fund?
Well, there is
Marchicelli.
Marchicelli is
right.
That's the chip
money.
Okay.
There's a small chunk, I believe, of the chips money. And like Herb just said, hopefully we're looking at an increase of chips, so that would definitely help us.
I heard 100 million.
65. Is the last thing I
heard. Statewide? I heard $100 million, $200 million for the New York Bridges Division.
I'm trying to read the email.
Yeah, we'll
vote for it. Yeah. it's, but no, they, originally I think the assembly put it for 50 additional and chips, and then the Senate said 75. So it's somewhere, and then the last thing I heard is they settled on 65. So,
and I saw on the way out today that they want to bump it up to 100 for chips and 200 for additional for New York Bridges.
Right, they were asking for, and actually the 65 million said it was going to be listed as the winter recovery money, but distributed on the chips fund.
Mm-hmm.
But they were, they were asking for 150 million, that was additional.
And they also said that the $200 million that you're talking about for New York Bridge needs to go all to local, not program $200 million additional, and have $125 million go to it.
Yeah, it's, like I said, the last thing I saw from the county association was $65
million. Okay, if there's any other questions, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, all opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 151, approving the execution of a contract amendment, excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Callahan Industries Incorporated Department of Public Works. So moved.
Second.
Any questions for...
Just more road work.
Yeah.
Basically, this is the same.
Right.
It's just a different vendor.
Right. Yeah. Allianz, I mean.
There was four sections.
Right.
Peckham received a bid on one section. Allianz had three.
Okay.
The same. Just a different vendor.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Resolution number 152, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County and Peckham Road Corporation, Department of Public Works.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
This is for Coleman Place, right?
This is Coleman Place. It's not a process that we didn't use it last year. We tried it with Peckham a few years back and we had problems with it. So we had a gunshot and tried it in.
It didn't work out well?
No, it didn't work out very well, and the reason why we keep it there is an option if we want to. And I want to try it again because I really do like the process, but I'm a gunshot. I'm not sure about their changes or anything. So.
Mm-hmm. Resolution number 153, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Highway Rehabilitation Corporation, Department of Public Works.
Moved
by Legislator Maloney, second by Legislator Litz.
I just want to be sure we're on 154.
Right.
153. 153. Okay. I thought that's what I heard, but when I slipped to the wrong one.
What is one that's in the good decision?
This is Paul Maria.
Warren Brothers, you're in there, coming.
That's the burning process.
Yes.
That they have the train, the different burners.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You stay fired up, inch and a half below, shoot with some oil, put it back out, re-roll it,
right.
And you got to put a left course on top.
Right.
It didn't launch Riverside. That's holding up pretty well.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Bye. Resolution number 154, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by County, Town, and County Bridge and Rail Incorporated Department of Public Works.
Moved.
Moved by Legislator Bush, second by Legislator Maloney.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I'm not clear which bridge this is. Where is it located?
It's not a bridge. It's a process called Shot Creek that we use to line big culvert pipes.
It's what?
It's called Shot Creek. It's like a liquid concrete that they go into a big culvert pipe that has issues instead of ripping it all out.
They reline it.
But
it's not a specific time or location.
It's not a rail trail.
Thank you. You know what I was getting at. But just help me understand what town and county bridge and rail
incorporated
the name of the
company.
That's the
vendor. Okay.
I think you got them on the next page too.
All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? You're an order man, Joe. You'll get there.
My reputation precedes me.
Resolution number 155, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Foreign Brothers Incorporated. Department of Public Works.
So moved.
Second.
Any more discussion
in this room?
It's
going
to
crack seal.
What is it?
It just says it's going to go to bid and it's going to be whatever the rate.
Oh, crack seal services, right.
The road that's...
So when it freezes and it's going to get a pops up?
Right. Well, this is actually crack.
Oh.
And they come and put a hot hard sealer in the crack.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Okay. I'm going to do a little workshop.
It's called tar snakes on.
Yeah. Well, I got to talk about it. The branch grows up through it. You see a lot of that on driveways and stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff they crash.
Yeah. This is to help try and keep it from getting worse.
All right.
The only Jimmy, that's not the question. I mean, we were just, it's going to go out to bid, but it just says rates. So we don't know what the.
Well, this is just an extension of the contract.
Okay.
And it's $18.50 a gallon. And they track the fit and everything, traffic control and everything.
No, I just see at the bottom it says rates will exceed $50,000. I was just wondering what.
I think I have in the budget, I think there's $60,000 in there for crack sealing, I believe. And also the sealing process, sometimes if we have money in the capital for the various roads, 497,
mm-hmm.
that we use for sealing, we do, can do some crack sealing out of that. So it depends on the demand. And the crack sealing is, you know, we pave a road this year, 3 years from now, it needs to be crack sealed. You know, 3, 7, and 10. That's the cycle.
Right.
So, it's an ongoing.
Yeah. It just fills the cracks.
It fills the cracks and
seals the roof.
If it does the roof, if it's done properly, it's, you know, like $6,000 a mile, and it's, we got roofs that
were actually
3 years ago, you know, 3 years ago, and it hasn't had one pothole in it, and, you know.
We're taking our army road machine out tomorrow. We do all ours.
Oh, really?
The old way. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it helps.
Yeah.
It'd be impossible for to do that. But.
All in favor?
Aye.
All in opposed? Motion carries.
What's this one?
66.
All right.
Yes,
thank you.
That's
the one.
Yep.
We always have a lot.
I know.
Keep the county going.
No?
Yeah.
Resolution number 166, authorizing the acquisition of right-of-way interest over certain road property for rehabilitation of the Walk Hill Bridge over the Walk Hill River and amending capital project 439 for right-of-way acquisition, Department of Public Works.
Whose land are we?
Where is
acquiring?
Walk Hill?
Walk Hill Bridge. From the Walk Hill River.
Walk Hill Bridge, the one right there by the post office. It's on Green Turnpike. It's off of Green Street. Make the left side post office. Bridge in hand.
Oh. Right in Walk
Hill. Right in.
The one next to it. Cool.
Yes. The water line on the
side. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I keep forgetting this all.
I'm not really sure exactly, you
know,
the
they're going to read that,
No, I see in one of the whereas, so with New York Senate's domain procedures law, and the public interest won't be very thank you for the instruction. But if we just, you know, once it gets back, I think probably it weighs next week, we just kind of know whose property we're taking.
Which is weird because for the phase four rail trail, we had to do it anyway, even though it was de minimis.
It actually exceeded the de minimis allowance.
Did that?
Yeah. If it goes over 1/10 of, if it goes over 1 acre or a certain percentage of the overall lot, part three of the four, we were not de minimis.
I think it's on the left-hand side going across the bridge, some hedges that they needed to come out.
New rails.
That's all just rails?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're going to move the water line off the sidewalk.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
It doesn't
Resolution number 157, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to waive its right of first refusal to purchase real property located at 16
Lucas Avenue in the city of Kingston, Ulster County, New York, and to release all rights, title, and interest in purchasing said property to its owner, GE Realty Kingston, LLC, and to its leaser, GD Realty Company, Department of Public Works.
In the court.
Motion made by Legislator Lauren, seconded by Dean Fabiano for discussion. Anybody got any questions, concerns?
Okay, so the other projects, everything's going as scheduled?
Yes.
And when do we expect to, when are we looking at getting the move?
The move itself would be late 2018, if all goes according to plan.
Where are we right now out at the PRC?
Where are we
as far as
work being done?
No construction work whatsoever yet. No, I'm not talking about construction, I'm talking about demolition. Are we at least removing stuff, getting it ready?
No demolition yet. No bids have been, nothing's out to bid or awarded at this point. And our funding isn't approved for that yet.
When do we plan on starting that?
Late this year. It's late fall.
Why? Why didn't we start that? Why haven't we started that sooner?
Because the architect's still working, as far as I know. The design is still ongoing. We're pretty much at a completed schematic design.
Well, no, I'm not talking about construction. I'm talking about demolition. There's no reason.
Well, there's still tenants there. It's not full, obviously, but the Department of Labor, Office of Employment and Training, Youth Bill, BOCES, SBDC. And there's a few county offices for DSS and Office for Aging. So building is probably, I would say, about 40%.
Didn't we authorize like $600,000 for that demolition?
No, I don't think anybody's been authorized for
that. You authorized to move the design with the architect.
Architects and the construction manager.
That's 600,000. I thought that was just for the
demolition. You got 1.2 that's funded. It's for the architect.
That's different. That was different. I thought that was different than the other money.
Right.
I could be wrong, but I thought that was different. I thought we authorized like $600,000 for the demolition part of that, because I thought that was a little much at that point in time. I don't know why we're spending that kind of money on demolishing something, especially right. Something that the wall should be very easily collapsed.
Right. I would think you wouldn't want to start demolishing until you know what you need to demolish. I would think that you would not want to start demolishing anything until you know what you need to demolish.
Well, I'm assuming that was an old retail store, so that whole thing can come apart and go right back together again.
Yeah, but if there's an existing wall that can stay in place that we don't have to move or tear down, if we tear it down, then we've got to build it back up. But you only know that when the design is done.
Yeah. Who's the architect now? The guy who's responsible for Congress?
Legislator
Green?
He had a preliminary design for the guy from this wall.
Because programmatic ship.
Just to say that I'm the chair of the Climate Smart Committee as the liaison from Public Works, and they, each year we try to understand what's going on with a couple more buildings. Last year we looked at this building and law enforcement, and everybody would like to, on that committee, would like to have a chance to have somebody from Public Works come and have a discussion about energy efficiency, renewable energy at that meeting. And so I assume that the correct protocol would be for me to make that request to Deputy Sudlow and then have it come through that way. But I just wanted to mention it here so it doesn't come as a surprise.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions or legislative
orders? Two things. Thank you for the curb signs on Tokyo Road. And going by, I got nothing to do if you got one more this week in there. Thank you, though. I appreciate that. One other thing, small thing, that's making the left-hand turn to go to Sam's Club and Lowe's.
Excuse me, Legislative Maloney, we're still on this resolution.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought we were done.
No. Yeah. I forgot, Jen.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
All in favor? All opposed?
Originally, I hoped to be in front of you with two resolutions, a contract for repairing railroad tracks and a capital project to repair railroad tracks. Just so you know, I actually found this map. I wish I had brought it last night. These are the areas that you delineated in Resolution 488 for future trail, future rail, trail to be decided, rail. The section we're talking about is right in here. And so it's in the future rail area. It's in the area permitted for rail explorers to operate it. There are three segments. One is at 23.3 is right here. That's the most northerly one. That's the one with the tracks that have gone right down into the Esopus. Mm-hmm. That was a result of this. That was the result of the 2011 floods.
Mm-hmm.
The next segment that we have is almost a half mile. It's 22.38 to 22.8, and that's where we have a small FEMA project from ballast being washed away, but it's not quite as serious. And so that's segment three. And then as you get further south, milepost 21.9 is unrelated to the storms. It's really due to the fact that the culverts weren't cleaned over a period of decades, and the culverts plugged, and the water went down the ditch line and took out about a 5-foot depth of the ditch, and then went right under the tracks and left the tracks hanging in the air. So we originally were going to have bids back 3 weeks ago, and the storm delayed us getting contractors out to see it. So there were 2 feet of snow on the ground. I called the chairman to say, I think I'm going to have this late resolution coming. Our bids are coming in on Friday, and we're hoping by Tuesday to have the lowest responsible bidder and a number for you to look at. So I just wanted to make you aware of it. You know, if we're going to put in lates, you know, I apprised the Economic Development Committee of it last night, looping you in on it.
So this would come straight to the floor, right, Jim?
It's going to go to laws and rules. I already gave Kevin Roberts a heads up on that.
All right.
So again, this is actually one of the large FEMA projects and two of the small FEMA projects. And I'll just tell you now, the approval from FEMA was for $182,000 and change. We're going to go well beyond that. Right now, our engineer's estimate is $300,000 to $600,000. And people, you know, were saying, you know, why aren't you doing these FEMA projects? A lot of the stuff that was in those original FEMA projects was scoped by Catskill Mountain Railroad, and they didn't put in certain things like, you know, turbidity curtains and coffer dams to block the stream where they need to do work and certain other elements. So FEMA will cover some of it, but there's also going to be, particularly on the one that's erosion
related. It's going to be partially county shared.
What exactly is the scope of work? What are you going to be doing exactly?
It depends on the segment. So in segment one, which are the first set of tracks, right, they're actually going to have to go to the toe of the slope, which is right at the Esopus Creek. They're going to put, you know, very large riprap, 5,000-pound rocks at the bottom, and then they're going to build up, basically it's a shelf. So you have the creek here, and then you build up, and there's a shelf, and then there's a slope here. So they'll ditch right at the bottom of the slope and repair the two or three culverts that allow that water to pass, build up the slope, and reinstall all of the railroad infrastructure.
Okay.
In section one, that involves replacement of the rail because the rails all warped and pulled apart.
So you're actually going to replace the rail?
Yes. Okay. It will be returned to a standard that any railroad could run.
Okay.
In segment two...
Before you go to segment one, it is...
No, that one's
got to
get changed out
because
it's
actually from last night. But I didn't ask the question last night. Is this indicative of what's out there? I mean, is that a true picture?
Oh, yeah. It's even worse than that. We call it the slinky tracks because it went from being like this to going...
Well, I'm not worried about that. Well, why couldn't you take this track out? Because you're going to have to run it. That means you place.
That track's coming out.
Bench in here without going in the water, then you don't need the silt curtain or the water retention or those porta dams.
I believe
you feed the stone in here, and instead of making the embankment and then the shelf,
right,
build the whole thing up. Because I think the difference in elevation is only 6 or 8 feet. Build the whole thing out of rock.
The problem is you don't have a stable slope here. Like down here, this is... I wish I had a shot from the water because it looks like... it just looks like soil that's continuing to erode down into the creek.
Right. That's why I'm saying you come in here with a keyway. Don't get in the water because that's an environmentally sensitive thing. You dig down here 4 feet, leaving this soil between here. So as long as you don't get into the water, you're fine. Put your keyway in underneath of where the railroad's going to be and then just build it up with heavy stone fill.
Yeah.
And then that eliminates the need for the porta dam and the silt fence.
I think we're too far along. We hired an engineer from Stone Ridge to do this peak engineering, which has done other railroad work. In fact, they did some of the bridge reports that you got, like on the C9 bridge. I rely on our engineers, and we're at a point where they have stamped plans that are out to bid. Mm-hmm. So it's.
But I think if you value engineer that, you can save $100,000.
Well, I would be glad to give you Nadine and Scott's number and have you have a conversation with you. But again, I think at this point, if you want to do the project, we have to go by the design, and I'm.
We're getting $182,000 out of possible $600,000. If we can save $100,000, then we don't have programmed for the work. I think that's where we need to go.
There are two things to keep in mind about that. The FEMA money does go up. So if you do it within the scope of what was approved by FEMA originally in the project worksheet and you go over, they will go up to the cost of replacing. So we also had to keep in mind what CMRR had proposed for the project worksheet. Mm-hmm. So they tried to stay true, fairly true to that. So they may have been constrained on the choices that they had just in this case because the funding was tied to an earlier design. And if you deviate too much from it, you have to go for a scope change. And that scope change will take us beyond the period that we have to finish
this. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to belabor it. I don't want to get into a PM match here. I mean, the scope was to rebuild the embankment and reestablish the railroad. If you can do that with staying out of the Esopus Creek, that's a plus. And I don't think it changes the scope at all other than reduces the cost and environmentally it's more sound.
Legislator Green?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the long term and wondering, you know, what's going to last longer. It doesn't sit well with me to hear, well, you know, we're this far along. If it hasn't been built, then, you know, and I hear what you're saying about FEMA and not deviating too much from the original application, but I just want to be sure that we're not missing an opportunity, and my real question is, which is going to last longer? Because that's, you know, I don't know that I'll be around
when we hire professionals who are stamping plans, it's really up to them to figure out how to do this job in the most cost-effective, long-lasting manner. I'm sure that Peak Engineering, which has done a lot of work up there in the watershed, a lot of work along the Esopus, would have stayed out of the creek had that been an option. None of us want to go for a DEC permit.
Right.
None of us want to go for a Town of Shandaken floodplain permit, both of which we are invoked on this because we are at the toe of the creek. So I didn't tell them that, you know, I'd like to really disturb the creek and put something that's not going to last very long. In fact, we were very clear, like, we want to rebuild this. We want it to last as long as possible, which is why they put elements in that weren't in the FEMA project, like these very large stones. Catskill Mountain Railroad went with a different material. They thought this would be a longer-lasting material. Now, if you want to talk to them and ask them about why they, you know, didn't do an alternative, I would be glad to give you the number. But again, we have stamped plans that are out to bid, and
you feel there's no turning back at this.
Well, I mean, we could turn back. We could just not fix it.
Oh.
So, I mean, I think that's the real conversation. If this comes out to be, let's say it's $1 million, and then you start to think about the cost-benefit analysis, well, is it really worth repairing in that area, or do you want to rethink your policy and say maybe you have train down to where that washout is? I mean, right now we're having that same conversation with rail explorers because the people south of here on Colebrook Road have objected to rail explorers operating anywhere near Colebrook Road. I got completely ambushed at a meeting in Olive about a month ago. The poor people from rail explorers almost went out of there in tears. So I think we should, you know, I think that's the real thing is, my hope is that this comes in such a reasonable range and is covered enough by FEMA to make it a viable project. And then it would connect down to Boyceville. The other two projects, one of them is mostly just replacing some of the ballast and then kind of getting the gauge of the track back in alignment and getting it so that the drainage is working again. You'll see drainage is coming in off the hill, and then it's just hitting the... And the third one is really replacing an undersized culvert that plugged, and then repairing the ditch line, and then putting back the underlying embankment that washed out. Neither of those two require the permits or are in the stream. So,
thank you. If there's nothing else, does anybody have any old business?
Well, on this before we leave it, I would like an answer to the question about, you know, the suggestion that Legislator Lips made. Stamp plans are stamp plans. We've had stamp plans for a lot of projects that have had to be revisited. If it's a good suggestion, I would like to have it evaluated.
I don't know what you want me to do. I've said I would be glad to give them his number.
That's
fine. Yeah. It's 687-4500.
I'm not an engineer, so I'm not going to stand
that. You can talk to Nadine Barney or Scott.
A real
man
with a toenail.
Scott
Davis?
No, Scott Davis.
Scott Davis works with you.
Now, what's Scott Davis?
What's Nadine's last name?
Carney. C-A-R-N-E-Y.
Oh, maybe the name of the company.
But Nadine could
could tell you why she did what she did.
Speak engineering.
Okay, any old business?
Just thank you.
Any new business?
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
All right. Motion made by Legislator Witt. Adjourned. Seconded by Legislator Warren. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Carey, meeting adjourned.
Well, Chris, thanks for coming by.
Chris, thank you so much.
You can't get home
by Joseph, thank you.
Come by, Joe.
Joe, a couple things I had. I'll give you a call, Warren, when Sue comes back here. Not big things, anyway. I'll hold you up. I'll pull you during the week and I'll take a ride down.